One, hold the paper up. One, two, three.
You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, December 20th, 2013. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the final live show for the Majority Report 2013. That means no more coming into the office and doing weird voices and prepping for the show. And also it means that Cliff Schechter will be with us today to wrap up 2013, look forward into 2014. Actually, we're going to spend the whole day talking about the Duck Dynasty. We're going to break down every single, we will do synopsis of every episode on A&E. Got all of A&E's. No, we're not going to get into that.
A little bit of biography on each and every one of them.
I don't know. Maybe we will. I mean, also joining us today will be Isabel Gillies and Matthew Film Guy giving us maybe the year in review in film. Who knows? The year in review on streaming film. Or maybe we'll just talk about Duck Dynasty. Maybe what we'll do is have Isabel and Matthew and I all grow beards. Sell a show to, I don't know, we could probably Spike or I don't know where we would sell.
Isabel grows beard?
Well, I don't know. We'll ask her. That would be, I mean, that maybe that would bump us up to like
that would be
basic cable.
Yeah, can Matt grow a beard?
He has a beard.
What?
Matthew has a beard.
No, Matt in the office.
Oh, wow. All right.
Indeed, Matthew.
All right, folks. We will get to Cliff Schechter in a moment. I just want to remind you, as the year comes down to an end, over the next week and a half or so, we will have best ofs every day, I think, except for Christmas Day and maybe New Year's Day. We're going to have member bonuses. For members, you're going to hear some deep archive stuff. Stephen Colbert calling into the old Majority Report back, I think, in 06. An interview with Janine and Howard Zinn back in 06, I think it was. An interview I did with John Hodgman back in 05. An interview that we did with Desmond Tutu back in 05 or 06. Some deep archive stuff for members over the course of the next week. And then we've assembled what, you know, it was tough with the best ofs. There was a couple that we left off that I think, you know, probably we would have wanted to put in there. But it was, we tried to sort of measure out what were the big stories of the year. What were some really good interviews? What were some ones that didn't get as many downloads as other shows that we felt like needed some attention? So we've got a, I think, what will promise to be an entertaining series of stuff. We put in a sort of a funny show. We're going to scatter throughout there some calls with libertarians, some stuff that free beers, freeloaders don't hear on a regular basis in a way of enticing you to listen to the to want you to pony up to the bar, as it were.
To take responsibility for your life.
Yes, take a little responsibility for your life and pony up and become a member to support this program in 2014. You can do so, obviously, by becoming a member at majority.fm. Also, to support this program, you know, this month we have been sponsored by Credo Mobile. Credo's got a deal for Majority Port listeners. It ends on Sunday. Here is the deal. 50% off any of their phones, and they have phones that they didn't have in October. So if you are one of those people who emailed me or said to yourself, I would become a Credo user if only they had blank phone, then I encourage you to go to credomobile.com/Sam to check out their new phones. And you get 50% off the cost of that phone that you choose. In addition, they will buy you out of your current contract with up to $350 worth of Credo Mobile credit on your Credo bill. So check it out today. You know that Credo Action, we've talked about it in the past. We've had Becky Bond on. We've been talking to her even prior, frankly, to the Credo sponsorship. But Credo Mobile funds progressive nonprofits with 1% of their revenue. I think they were the largest donor to Planned Parenthood last year. And they also fund Credo Action, which fights for progressive causes. Check it out, credomobile.com/Sam. Also, as we head into 2014, we are looking for one, maybe two interns who will get college credit. We don't do free interns who are not getting college credit. And, you know, for your college student, and you want to intern on this program, it's not glamorous. Frankly, it's not glamorous if you're the host, never mind being an intern. But I think there will be some pizza involved. And so by all means, if you're interested, or you know somebody you think you might be, send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. And also, before you guys get on the phone, on the mic here, I want to also say that if you are a regular viewer of our YouTubes and you have some editing skills and you want to create a 30 to 50 second promo for the show, clips of what's on YouTube, quick clips, graphics, whatever, you want to do that, by all means, do it and send it to us, and we will run it as an ad. If you have questions, email us at majorityreporters@gmail.com. Also, let me take the time now to do it, because I know by the end of the show we're going to be rushed, because yesterday we went, I don't know, 2.5 hours to the members show. We had an extremely long debate with a libertarian who, someone said he started off sounding like he was on Zoloft, and then it moved into just, you know, a typical libertarian debate where it was all about their feelings at the end of the day. But I want to thank all of you for listening. In 2013, I want to thank especially the members who support this show and allow us to do it every day. And increasingly, this is becoming, well, we're not quite there, but, you know, my sole job. I mean, I have a couple other gigs that where I supplement, but so I appreciate that. We're hoping to expand the show and make it bigger, start to become reaching more people as progressive talk, as a radio business begins to collapse. We're seeing, well, New York, I guess, as an affiliate, gone, WWRL, gone as of January 1st. They lost LA, the big one out there, KTLK. Denver, I heard, is going by the wayside. Seattle, San Francisco were lost. We're trying to reach those people, and we don't really have a marketing budget. And so as you become a member, it allows us to expand. Also, I want to thank Matt and Michael, who did an amazing job this year, Matt in particular. I had to do that. And of course, thanks to Kyle, who created an amazing app. And Kyle, literally, the check is in the mail. Kyle, of course, this show wouldn't exist without Kyle. So I want to thank all of you. Also, all of you who have supported this show, even if you didn't have the financial means to become a member, by doing things like donate your account, telling your friends, giving us iTunes reviews, giving us reviews on the app, all that. I genuinely appreciate it. And, obviously I really appreciate your listenership. I'm not the most effusive person when handing out thanks to people, but I genuinely do appreciate it. All right, let's take a break, and we will be talking to Cliff Schechter when we return. We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report on the phone for the final time in 2013 is Cliff Schechter. But before we get to that finality, we must get to the final time we will be playing the Cliff Schechter theme song in 2013.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
Hello, Cliff.
Why, hi there, Sammy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let me start off by saying this at the beginning of the segment because, you know, I always forget stuff at the end. But I want to thank you effusively, just read into how effusive my thank you of you is for coming on nearly every Friday in 2013. It is always a pleasure, and I appreciate you doing this. And it's always
my pleasure, particularly when you get effusive with me. I even appreciate it more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't express effusiveness. I've said it. I've said the word more than three times. I just learned it yesterday, I think.
You're not always effusively there. So when you get effusive with me, you know.
I know how much you appreciate that. Now, we're at the end of 2013. So what I thought we would do, Cliff, is to go over, you know, sort of like the good and the bad of 2013. I came up with a list of like, I don't know, almost like 12 or 13 good things and 12 or 13 bad things of 2013.
That sounds about
right. And, you know,
does that include the Boston Red Sox winning the World Series?
No. I didn't even include that. I'm talking more about politics.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Although that was pretty good.
for some of us.
Yeah, and I didn't even include the birth of my son, which was also pretty good.
I would put that definitely under the good list for virtually everything in life, and maybe the bad list for your sleep schedule.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's actually incredibly accurate.
And perhaps clothing, puke-free clothing, too.
Yeah, but, you know, he's not a puker, but he ain't a sleeper either. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, you know.
You just eat to make up for it, and you can't fit in your pants anymore. All right, so that's all right. So let's go over some of this. Let's start, you know, in no particular order, but I think, you know, one of the worst things that we have experienced this year has been and I would lump these together in some respects, but the sequester and the implications that it's had on sort of the least fortunate in this country, and I would include in that sort of cuts to food stamps, and you know, it's, I guess it's technically going to be 2014. Well, it's going to happen in 2013. The cuts to unemployment. I mean, this is,
yeah,
this has been really tragic, both for the economy as a whole, but particularly for the most vulnerable Americans.
No, I know. I mean, and I think you have to add in the recent budget to that, too, because that, of course, was the effect of sequestration and everything. You know, I mean, in fact, I think a lot of us had sort of clamored against the idea that had been popular on the left for a while of having a balanced budget amendment, right? And in the end, you know, this almost ended up functioning like that. Getting yourself into something, you know, did President Obama and others around him learn the lesson this year? Who knows? Probably not. But I mean, getting yourself into something where you have to rely on crazy people to get you out of is not smart. And it put them in a certain position, and so you have to look at the budget, you know, that they just recently the whole yay, you know, Patty Murray and Paul Ryan thing that ends up at spending levels below earlier Paul Ryan budgets, and it eases for 2 years some of the sequestration, but you know the biggest leverage point the Democrats probably had was defense, although some of them are co-opted by the defense industry too, but they didn't. They didn't push that. And I just think these are all connected to each other. This is all sort of, to me, the overall failure of belief, you know, of framing, of actually standing up and saying, you know what, we won the election. We've won the past two presidential elections, but the inability to sort of stand up and make the argument that you don't get to sort of make, you know, these kinds of demands and get it 50-50 when the president won, the Democrats held the Senate again, and the House, they won by 1.4 million votes and only lost because of gerrymandering. But that they've never done that. You know, they've never made that argument that, you know, about what their mandate is. They've never made the argument that, that we've tried things here and in Europe. We've tried things your way and it's failed. It's failed massively and we can't do it. We've tried things your way even worse so during the Bush years and look at what that did to us. You know, it's, these are, and the worst of all was President Obama sort of, backing up and really supporting the very right wing and very stupid argument that, you know, a family operates like the U.S. government operates.
Right, right.
You know, you tighten your belts, so we have to tighten ours. And that all of that has served to undermine any good they could do to get rid of what the real crisis is, of course, which is unemployment, wage stagnation, you know, poverty, well, the combination of all of those things. And that really has led to all of these items we're talking about.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, the story for 2013 is austerity. We reflect that in our best of selections this year. But, you know, on the flip side, the only good thing I can say about that is what happened with sort of the sort of final debunking of the Reinhart-Rogoff calculation about austerity, about the implications of it. Now, it came a little bit late, and you know, we're still living in this age of austerity where we are, you know, the saddest thing about this is that there is a tremendous amount of suffering that is taking place with people. There was a really just a devastating piece in New York Magazine, I think it was, talking to seven people who are going to lose their unemployment benefits in the next week or two. And this is all
because,
self-imposed.
Let's be honest with people, though. They are, because that's what Jesus would have done.
Right, of course. Jesus would want people to not be so beholden to the state. They can just go out and
so
get a job.
So beholden to their unemployment benefits.
Right.
They choose to lie around and do nothing with the vast sums of wealth thrown their way for new pairs of yacht shoes and trips to the moon and such.
All right, but let's look at something that was positive that I know that you will agree with me on this, and I know that it's been on your mind, is we seem to have turned the corner where we no longer have to play defense. Now, I have said this 100 times, but on Social Security. And
yeah,
we're also seeing sort of like an ascendancy of at least a more progressive caucus in the Senate.
Yeah, and those two things are tied to each other and hugely important. Again, Social Security, as we talked about many times on this program, is a bedrock Democratic program. From a political point of view, you know, this is the crown jewel of a government, social safety net system that was created under the New Deal. And on the policy side, it literally is one of the most successful policies in the history of the world in terms of poverty among the elderly has literally just, you know, fallen through the floor since that program was passed, particularly since it was reformed and they started adding other groups of people and giving survivors benefits. And it's the largest insurance program for children who get survivors benefits if they lose their parents. And there's just so many terrific things about that program. It also happens to be good for the economy. If people have money, they spend it. We needed this sort of new progressive contingent to start standing up and making the arguments that we just said too many Democrats weren't making, whether it comes to austerity and how the economy works. And with Social Security, you know, kudos to all of these groups, you know, to the PCCC and Social Security Works and, you know, I'm not thinking Credo, I think is a lot around, and some other groups that have just been, you know, fabulous in terms of saying, you know, we're going to do something that no one on the left is doing. The right has spent the last couple of decades, you know, expanding the so-called quote-unquote Overton window, you know, of what is acceptable policy by coming out with things that seem crazy at one moment. In fact, even doing anything in Social Security, when the Heritage Foundation people first started pushing it in the early to mid-80s, seemed like it was insane. And they got it to a point where it actually, you know, could be part of a respectable discussion in Washington.
Right.
We'll put respectable in quotes too. But I mean, that, you know, that what we started pushing back in the opposite direction, and you know, winning is contagious. And when people start standing up for themselves, they feel good. It makes your activists want to stand up. Because I got to tell you, you know, I don't know if it affects you the way it affects me. Whenever I've seen, the Democrats just sort of cower and cave, it just makes me not want to fight for them anymore. It's just sad and it's pathetic, really. And to see people stand up and say, you know what, 80% of the public is with us. You know, our base is with us on this, but so are virtually everybody else, including a majority of Republicans, for that matter. And this is ridiculous. This is a small group of billionaires and people paid off by billionaires who have a view, a view of something that's so ridiculous mainstream. And getting Elizabeth Warren, I mean, just there's so many steps to that, holding showing up and crashing Fix the Debt events and making them look as foolish as they should look, reminding them of all the guys on their board who are bankers, all the guys who have money, who right now are involved in investment banks that have all sorts of funds over, you know, offshore, so they won't get taxed, but yet they're trying to cut Social Security. I mean, it was brilliant sort of, you know, PR work on their part, brilliant work getting people aboard like Jeff Merkley and Sherrod Brown, and of course eventually Elizabeth Warren, who, you know, really turned the corner on that debate if anybody did. And then really in the end they got some of those groups like Fix the Debt to lash out and made them look even more stupid. It was needed because this rising progressive tide, it showed people what success can do, and it showed people that if you move that window back to where it should be, that the fallback position becomes nobody touch Social Security, which
right.
is what it should be.
And I would add to you know, when we talk about, you know, sort of the change in the Senate, you know, now Max Baucus is now heading to China, which is, we didn't really have an opportunity to talk about it too much this week,
well,
but it's sort of a bizarre it's sort of a bizarre story. I mean,
well,
I thought
it made a lot of sense, actually, Sam. I mean, because his trade deals have already sent all of our other jobs there.
Right.
So he might as well have a job there, too.
Right. I mean, it's very strange. I'm not even sure from the Chinese perspective that they wouldn't be offended. I mean, who is this guy? He doesn't seem to have any sort of genuine bona fides when it comes to some type of portfolio. I mean, this is not a guy who speaks Chinese, who has studied the Chinese, who's not a particular...
There may not even be any healthcare companies over there he can consult for while writing healthcare bills.
Well, I mean, he's not, right. I mean, he's not a particularly a prestigious guy. I mean, I wonder even from the Chinese perspective what it looks like. But aside from that, Baucus was gone anyways.
Well, they were going to send Dennis Rodman first, but then he turned it down, so I guess you got to send Max Baucus.
We got no Lieberman. Who else have we lost in the Senate? Evan Bayh, Ben Nelson. I guess Bayh has been gone for a while, but Ben Nelson.
No, most of the corporatized caucus, if you want to call them that, they don't call themselves this, but the Blue Dog caucus in the Senate. Is gone,
and
frankly, Mark Pryor is probably about to go, whether you want him to or not.
No, I think you cut out for a second. And the implications, of course, are that we ended up getting filibuster reform when it comes to nominees and when it comes to judicial appointments, and that is that I think is. Sort of some of the best news of the year in some respects. I mean, you know, remains to be seen.
I think it may be the single best thing that happened this year. I mean, again, I have to go through our list or whatever, but I mean, you know, the government is supposed to function. That's what it's actually there for, believe it or not. I know many in the Republican side don't believe that. And it wasn't functioning, and they were taking something that used to be something that was used in desperation, used once or twice during congressional during a particular Congress for what they considered very extreme things. And I'm not saying I supported it because often it was used to block civil rights, but it was only used in what they considered the most extreme of circumstances. And now it became something to completely shut the government down. And it was quite obvious for a while that this was going on. And this was utterly ridiculous. This is not the way government's supposed to work. And if you guys can't play by the rules as they exist and tradition as it exists, then don't expect the other side to do it either. I mean, I'm really glad they did it. I wish they'd done it sooner. But right now they're putting all sorts of people, you know, onto the D.C. appellate court, which they were trying to block, which is a very powerful court, you know, and
important court in the country.
That's true,
this is going to have real implications too when we talk about that court hearing whether or not the EPA has authority to restrict greenhouse gases. This is going to have implications in terms of. The Republicans not being able to leverage the appointment of a head of an agency as to whether or not that agency can actually fulfill its functions. There's going to be all sorts of, you know, very small bore, not very small bore, but seemingly small bore changes that are going to have some very, very important implications down the road. And so that's very helpful.
Well, the day-to-day functioning of government, you know, this court could block too. By declaring all sorts of things about rules, you know, passed by certain departments, as you were saying, you know, in Washington. And so it is. It's important for the work that will get done because of the people that have been allowed to go forward. But the filibuster is important because it was sort of a final standing up to, you know, I mean, and not as much as I'd like to see. I want more of it, but at least in some form to literally what has been this sort of an anti-democratic assault by one of the two parties that I think, you know, you can pick any starting point you want, but certainly you'd have to include the impeachment of a sitting president over something that was a joke, or certainly wasn't related to what he was doing. And it has gone on from them abusing recalls, starting with Gray Davis, to, you know, through abusing government and not, you know, how they've locked Democrats out of rooms and shut down meetings and just, you know, all sorts of things that just sort of used to be considered acceptable. And obviously they're purges of the voter rolls and the rest. And at some point it's enough, you know, it really was enough a long time ago.
All right.
So it was good that they stood up and finally said, you know, this government's now not working. They're using a minority to essentially hold up the workings of government and make sure none of the rules get passed that they don't want and none of the courts get filled so that they can fill them again when they hopefully win the presidency again. And, you know, good for them for standing, good for the Democrats in this case for standing up and saying enough.
Let's talk about, you know, we've talked about gun control on this program with you many times. You know, the year started off with a big push following the tragedy in Newtown, the anniversary of which just passed a week or so ago. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's not a lot to say. Obviously, there was no movement, at least on a federal level. There was a couple of states. New York did something. Connecticut did something. There was a couple other states that were able to sort of push this forward. There was a couple of small administrative changes. But, you know, this is just an ongoing problem where you have, you know, just so much money on a national level that is invested in making sure that, you know, we have a tremendous amount of guns being sold on a daily basis.
Well, it was, you know, it was a huge disappointment in terms of after something like this, the tragedy that happened in Newtown. I mean, had that been a couple guys with Muslim names, who can only imagine what we would have done.
Right.
But the people who are kowtowing to the gun industry. But, you know, so right now it's definitely upsetting in terms of not getting national legislation in a number of states. Obviously, Colorado, which is a swing state, got legislation. And you had two state senators in a very small off-year election recalled. But I'll say this, in the bigger, broader picture, in the future, eventually when we get sane gun laws, this will be the year everyone will look back to when everything changed. Because culturally, new groups popped up, the Sandy Hook Promise Group, Newtown Action Alliance, you know, Moms Demand Action popped up and now has 125,000 moms around the country, chapters in all 50 states, and they just joined with Mayors Against Legal Guns literally yesterday. They merged with them, so there's now a huge grassroots chapter in an organization that already has a lot of money. And, you know, you've seen things change culturally. It's become an issue where people, you know, Democrats can't just kowtow to the NRA and get away with it. They will be targeted for it, you know, and culturally, you know, businesses like Starbucks can't just get away with saying, we're not going to allow guns in our corporate headquarters, but we're going to allow guns in stores based upon local laws and put your lives in danger but not ours. And people stood up to them and boycotted, and they backed down. And so, nobody's consciousness, particularly parents who have kids in the school, it won't ever be the same after this. And that's why I'm positive that they're on the, you know, demographically they're on the losing end, but they're on the losing end because there's now a lot of people that have grown in terms of their passion about this issue because they realize how much more dangerous it is for all of us just walking the streets in this country than in any other country, you know, that has a similar, you know, similarly, you know, similar wealth to us and a similar economic and government system that we have. And it makes no sense. So, you know, so short term, yeah, it was really disappointing. I'm not going to say it wasn't losing those, you know, the laws in Washington, but, you know, seeing Terry McAuliffe in the state of Virginia stand up and openly call for an assault weapons ban and a ban on a limit on magazine size and win that election, you know, the same thing with the attorney general who now is in a recall election has just won. Those would have been things that no Democrat would dare do in a state like Virginia as recently as the last election for fear that they couldn't possibly overcome the NRA. And here they beat them in their own backyard. So,
and you know, on this court, you know, I don't have time to talk about it today. We're going to put a link to a piece in Slate, which talks about a new study published in the International Review of Law of Economics, and it shows that the less guns you have, it actually implicates the number of suicides. And you know, so there's a clear correlation between guns and deaths. Whether it has to do with a homicide or suicide, we'll put a link up to that, and hopefully maybe
I'll just say that. I know we have to be quick about it, but just to say it quickly, I mean, it's clear that the success rate is something of like 20% of all other methods of trying to commit suicide, and it's like 90% when you use a gun.
Right.
And I'll say, you know, when Australia passed their whole, when they had their Port Arthur massacre, which was like Newtown, in 1996, and they passed a whole raft of laws, they said a side benefit, which they hadn't even fully expected, was suicide went down something like 60 or 70%. So, yes, people should check that link out.
And What I consider at least somewhat of relative to the year, a bit of good news is, you know, what's we've seen on the surveillance front. I mean, a year ago, we only knew that we had two senators who were warning us with these sort of cryptic warnings that, you know, the law is being interpreted in a way that would shock Americans, I think, is what Wyden and Udall had said up to this point a year ago. And since that time, because essentially of the Edward Snowden, what I think we can now safely say is whistleblowing, you know, I mean, I don't think that I don't see how that could really be uncontroversial at this point. We are at the very least, and I don't know if we're going to actually see any real reform, but we just saw this report that came out yesterday or the day before saying that there should not be mass collection of data, that the NSA, we had a judge who ruled this, and then we just saw the Obama-appointed panel on this come out with recommendations saying that the NSA should be severely curtailed in a lot of its warrantless authority, including the FBI in terms of their national security letters. Now, how many of these recommendations will be picked up? I would imagine not so many, but
It may influence, just like what we're talking about with guns and other issues, it may influence positions that Democrats must take in the next election.
Definitely.
And that's president as well as Senate, and I think that's hugely important. And look, the history of this issue, whether it's the NSA, the CIA, you know, I mean, the theory behind the form of government we have is that government conducted out in the open with transparency and with the involvement of the people is going to be the best form of government. I think that that generally is true. And what goes on behind closed doors when there are people that have competing interests, certain ideological predilections, certain corruption and an ability and a want to make money. You know, this is as old as the Republic to a certain degree. And certainly after World War II, when the OSS became the CIA, there were numerous abuses that went on during the Eisenhower and Kennedy and years and beyond, some of which theoretically, you know, certainly you hear arguments that Kennedy tried to push back on. And, you know, we had hearings on this in the 1970s, and we were able to institute a number of reforms. But eventually the loopholes are found in those reforms. By definition, CIA, NSA, what they do has to be conducted in private. But that is why we need to have the kind of oversight by people that have that clearance and who can be trusted, and I would argue numerous different people and different bodies, to do that kind of oversight. Because when we don't, it ends up being corrupted, as we learned this was. And, you know, it's up there also tied in a similar way to another story that we would say is, you know, one of this year that is certainly not a positive one, which is the drone story.
Right.
Except for, you know, Amazon getting me a book and a latte in 20 minutes, which, you know, I'm looking forward to that. Otherwise, and taking out an Al-Qaeda number 3 all in that time. But other than that, in all seriousness, you know, it's not that drones, I mean, look, we could drop cruise missiles on someone, we could do all sorts of things. Drones aren't necessarily in and of themselves evil. But when they're used in a manner where there is little oversight, where people on the ground are just assumed to be enemy combatants based upon their age and positioning, and you're blowing up Yemeni weddings, which is just disgusting and immoral, and we'll, you know, on a practical level, will lead to more terrorists who want to come and kill people because they've lost their family. But on a moral level, should make anybody sick. I'm not 100%. I don't believe drones have no use. I also, but again, I believe much like there is a use for the NSA and there is a use for the CIA. You know, if these things do not have the kind of accountability they must have, then they will be abused. History tells you they always are.
And let's talk about on a positive note, we have struck at least a temporary deal with Iran. And, you know, the flip side of that, of course, is that Chuck Schumer, Robert Menendez, and I can't remember who the Republican is, Kirk, want to try and sink this deal by putting new sanctions in 2014. It's just stunning in a way, but at the very least, you know, it's definitively a positive development that we have this Iran deal, and those additional sanctions may have been coming, but now they take on a more nefarious, I think, an even more nefarious, I should say, character, because they're almost explicitly now to sink the opportunity
for
a deal.
Democrats doing that too. I mean, Chuck Schumer has never been particularly good on you know, being what I would consider much more even-handed when it comes to the Middle East. He supported Iraq. You know, he has been too pro-Israel. And that, I think, you know, when Menendez, but geez, I mean, is there any foreign policy issue that he's any good on?
Right.
I mean, he's, you know, I'm not surprised he's involved in this. He won't let us have a damn conversation with Cuba. You know, he's terrible on the Middle East. I think he was one of the ones early calling for bombing of Libya. When it's coming from our side, it's even that much more distressing.
Yeah. All right, let's go through. We don't have too much more time, but I want to also touch on there was a couple of in my good for 2013 column is the is what's happened with marriage equality. We just saw I think the 17th state in the country, New Mexico, basically saying we agree. Gay people should have every right that straight people should have, so that's an upside. I would also say another positive is the continuation of the sort of one-day wildcat labor strikes that we're seeing, and there's more of a sense. I mean, still. So obviously we don't have the sort of the flash of what happened during Occupy, but there's still a sense here that people are beginning to organize more, that they're not necessarily waiting for big institutions. They're just going forward with stuff. And
And I would argue also to add into what you're saying right now, I don't know if we had this in the list, but sort of people's greater support for liberty and freedom, as in gay marriage and some of the things we're talking about. I think the first ever poll showing that 58% of people support legalizing pot, which I think is huge, because to me, not just because, of course, the party will be even more fun when we do our look back next year, right? I mean, we'll have Cheetos there and the rest. Not that any of us would do that kind of thing if we were legalized in our states, of course. You know, I think it's huge because, you know, I think the tentacles of the war on drugs in this country, of what they stretch into from private prisons to the corruption of our government and the rest, when you start seeing people, you know, that's a start, because there's so many people out there who, if they did what Trey Raydell did, they'd be in a cell for probably 30 years.
Right.
And so the fact that the majority of people are in favor of legalizing pot in two states, obviously they didn't do it in 2013, but they did it in the end of 2012, I see that being one of the ways, hopefully, we loosen the grip of the authoritarians when it comes to the insane and insanely stupid war on drugs in this country.
And in terms of people fighting back against corporations, I mean, of course, you know, 2013, I think, was not a terribly good year in terms of any movement on fighting global warming. You know, remains to be seen what's going to happen with Keystone XL, and it remains to be seen what's going to be happening, you know, with the EPA just putting on some minor restrictions. You know, this we're headlong sort of racing towards a disaster in terms of global warming. The only thing that I can see a bright side on this on some level is that there were a lot of victories for people organizing against fracking. We saw a lot of the frackers move out, essentially the Marcellus Shale this year, because there was so much pushback by people who live in that area. And just I think it was yesterday in Pennsylvania, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania said that home rule stands. In other words, local towns and municipalities can regulate and ban fracking in their local jurisdictions, despite the fact that Governor Corbett got a state law basically passed through that prevented them from doing so. So, you know, that is a very positive step.
These are all related too, in terms of environmental regulation for the future, and everybody, people coming together. It's being led by activists, because not enough is being done, obviously, in the government. Sure, a lot of it's the Congress, which is terrible, and the House, but not enough is being done by a variety of people, including the Obama administration. And it's good to see this. I just read a story, you know, just a quick recap of, I guess it was a year ago or whenever it was, when that huge explosion happened in the town of West Texas, you know, and nothing's been done since
right.
then. The store or anything say, I mean, it's going to have to come from us. So these are all, when you hear about the fracking and the rest, these are all positive developments.
And, you know, lastly, we had a couple other things we wanted to talk about, sort of accountability for the banks, which we haven't seen much, although, thank goodness, Jamie Dimon is no longer considered sort of Saint Dimon, I guess.
Ask Maria Bartiromo, I'm sure, to
right.
her.
He
still has his poster above her bed, I'm sure.
We haven't seen any action on immigration. We've seen these sort of like horrible attacks on pensions across the country, both on a federal
yes.
and a state level.
And a city level. But again, there's been you take the few positives. When they tried to attack the pensions here in Cincinnati, it went down 80-20.
Yep.
So people are rising up and being made aware of what's going on. So there's bad in that it's even happening, but there's some good too.
And lastly, I guess it comes down to Obamacare, which goes into effect officially in January. Just today, I guess, there's reports that the individual mandate is going to be postponed for a year for those people who had policies canceled. That is a very muddled decision, it seems to me. But nevertheless, yeah. I think it impacts such a very small amount of people. And obviously the problems with healthcare.gov, I think were overblown. I thought so at the time. But the big story in terms, which I think has not been covered, is the fact that you have at least 7 million, 8 million new people who are getting health insurance because of an expansion to Medicaid. You're having that many denied by state governments who refuse to expand Medicaid. And
thankfully, a bunch of those governors from you know, people like Rick Scott and others are likely to be gone
right.
after 2000. We hope.
Knock on wood.
No, I mean, they're not looking good. Let's put it that way. Things can change. But, Corbett and Scott and a number of them,
right.
LePage and Maine, are not looking particularly good. So let's hope that we can get some more sane governors and get Medicaid into more states. Because, yes, healthcare is expanding. And I think one of the big stories of 2014 will be the success of Obamacare. Because frankly, more people are just going to have healthcare and healthcare they can afford, and it's going to make them happy, no matter what people say on the right and try to remind. Hey, remember a year ago when that website sucked? I've been on the website recently. I get healthcare for my family individually because I've got my own business, and it is so easy at this point to navigate. It's just everything is laid out for you in a way that you never have had anywhere else. You know, yes, single payer. And it may take a couple of years. Wait till Vermont does it the minute they can
right.
in 2017. I guess a lot of states will follow, and who knows how long it'll take them to become national. But for the time being, I think it'll be a positive story, even though it's been a negative one this year. Next year, when people actually have health care, it takes a big load off your mind. So,
Cliffy, again,
Samuel,
thank you so much for being with us on Fridays in 2013. We look forward to you being with us on Fridays in 2014.
I shall.
And then 2015, and then 2016.
Who knows how much longer after, as long as this show keeps going. And eventually, you know, no, I said I wouldn't make a joke about that before, so I won't.
All right, Cliff. Well,
and
you have a great
New Year's.
You
have to head off to your other job as a mall Santa, don't you? So I got to let you go.
The first show in 2014 will be a Friday, so we will welcome you back. We will look forward to 2014 and anything that we missed over the past couple of weeks. And so, Cliff, have a great one.
Yeah, you too. You, Michael, Matt, you crazy kids there, and everybody listening. Have a happy holidays and go enjoy your family. Take a little time off. We'll kick their asses next year.
All right.
You too, Cliff.
Goodbye, Cliff. All right,
take
folks.
Care, guys.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, hopefully, if technology allows, we will have both Isabel and Matthew on. So get both those theme songs. Fired up. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, Majority Report listeners, I know I've told you this before, but this Credo deal that we have from CredoMobile.com ends Sunday night. So in just a couple of days, Credo Mobile is offering 50% off their phones. And remember, they have a whole array of phones now. There's almost no phones they don't have. Phones that they didn't have back in October. Phones that people have asked about many times. Well, they've got those phones now. And you can get 50% off that phone, plus the $350 credit on your Credo bill, or up to buy you out of your existing contract. Credo Mobile provides 1% of its revenue to progressive nonprofits. Credo Action is also funded by your phone bill, and they fight for progressive issues that you care about. This is a win-win-win situation for us at the Majority Report and for you listening to the Majority Report. Go to credomobile.com/Sam right now. credomobile.com/Sam. Check out the phones they got. Check out the deal. It lasts only till Sunday. All right, folks, we are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report on the phone. We have both Isabel Gillies and film guy Matthew to give me a, well, maybe we'll talk about what was the best streaming movie of the year. Hold on, but let's get to first their theme songs. Which one will be?
Would you like me to just play them at the same time?
That would be awkward. All right, let's hear. Let's hear. Let's go with Isabel first.
Today is Casual Friday. Let us welcome Isabel Gillies to the show. She's going to recommend a movie or two to watch on Netflix. It's the only way I know. Listen to the picks from Isabel. IsabelGillies.com.
All right, now let's hear the Matthew. Oh, geez.
Matthew, the film guy, is choosing your streams. Cassavetes on Netflix and other such themes. Maybe you'll watch one and learn a few things.
That's right, Matthew Film Guy and Isabel Gillies. Hello, guys.
Hey, what's happening?
Hi.
Wow, this is so exciting to have you both here on what is the final Majority Report for 2013. And here we are.
It's big time.
Now, what is this? Now, let me just say that... Isabel, is this the first time you've ever heard Matthew's theme song?
You know, it is, and I'm a little taken aback. I think I heard it once before, but I maybe blocked it out, or I don't know. It's quite something.
Wow, that
does...
It's not
quite the sing-along yours is, but I think it has something special to it.
It does. Does it reflect our personalities?
Yeah, it might. You know, that was made by a friend of mine who knows I have a thing. When we were youths, we liked Metallica, and so it's in the sort of the style of Metallica's Master of Puppets. So in a way, it's a joke between he and I, but I like the lyrics. And
that
I
we
like
all
message,
suffer
so.
For in some way, right?
I don't quite hear the James Hetfieldian sort of cry.
Oh, look at that.
What are you talking about, Isabel? What does that even mean?
Isabel can hang. He's the lead singer of Metallica. Come on.
Oh, gosh. Come on. All right. Whatever.
Wow, Sam.
Well, it gets
showing your colors there.
Gives Sam some, gets me pumped up, you know, so it works.
Yeah, no, you sound
well,
really pumped
you
up,
and,
Matthew.
You and, you know, Mariano Rivera.
That's right. Oy. He comes out to Enter Sandman, a later cut.
All right,
that's
guys.
Right.
Enough of this crosstalk here. Now,
come on.
Now, we've got a...
My respect level just went way up for movie Matt.
Really? He prefers
yeah.
Matthew, though, you should know.
I know, right. But...
And it's film.
Film guy. That's right.
Thank you, Michael.
We got movie Gillies and film Matthew.
Matthew.
It's just Isabel Gillies, you know.
Now, Matthew, I know that you yourself have gotten lice many times. Isabel, I should tell you that we as a...
What? Hey, what?
What?
Huh?
As a fellow parent, Isabel, you should know I've been waiting to tell you that... We've gone through our first lice, I don't know what to call it, experience.
Bout of lice?
Yeah. How many times has that happened to your family?
At least four.
Oh, God.
And here's the thing. Wow. Here's the thing. There's a couple layers to it. Yes, it's a pain in the neck, but it can be a kind of cozy because everything shuts down. If you have lice, it's okay, call it all off. No more, no, anything that was planned is, we stop. We get in the tub. We put the Israeli shampoo on.
What?
That, oh my gosh, yeah, we have a whole Israeli shampoo situation.
Wait, Israeli shampoo situation? I don't know what
yeah.
that means.
There's an Israeli lice shampoo that is awesome.
Okay.
And it's a whole treatment, and then you can get your inner ape going, because then it's about picking, and that ignites in me some kind of primordial ape thing where I just love, I get the tape and I put it around my hand so that I can pick out the nits and then put them on the tape.
Ugh,
so that
wow.
they don't get lost.
Just gross.
You're just washing everyone's hair. No, it's kind of like a whole thing, and it's you have to just take breaks and maybe have some hot chocolate. Like, everything shuts down. That's why
Isabel
I like
is
it.
Amazing. I've never heard lice described like a spa treatment before.
Yeah, no, this is
But it kind
as,
of is.
As soon as I asked you about it, I sort of knew you'd be like, "That's great. We love it. It's a way to bring the family together."
Well. It's also a good sign because the universe isn't using so many pesticides, and that's why there's a higher lice, you know, lice is more than it used to be.
I don't know. Apparently.
I can see a child that has lice across a yard, a play yard. I once saw my kid. He must have been a football field away, and I saw that hand go to the hair. I was like, oh, my God, we've got lice.
Wow.
Let's shut it down.
There you go. And yeah, so we just went through it. I find it rather unpleasant. Matthew, how many times a year do you annually get lice?
I've just stopped counting.
All right. Well, that's. I wanted to just.
Did you get lice, Sam?
Did I get it? Yes, I had a couple of nits apparently.
Of nits.
Yeah.
Did you hire someone to deal with it?
We got we got somebody to come in and comb us out. Yeah.
Was it Vardit?
No, not Vardit. What?
Is that a person?
Yeah. Vardit is the lice expert.
Yeah, no. Oh. Didn't go with Vardit.
Of our school.
I can't remember what her name was, frankly. I'm
was
sorry.
Was it like the lice fairies or something like that?
No, it wasn't the lice fairies. No, that's I think, who brought it into the house.
who no. had it? Did Myla have it?
No,
like clearly
yeah, no,
Saul
it was
didn't
it was
it.
I was the one because I went to I've been hanging around with a bunch of elementary. Yeah, of course, Myla had it, and then she gave it to
right,
the rest.
Right, I know.
All right, so
Sam,
let's
you
get
had,
to
Sam. Have you had lice, or have you had the, you know, the other thing?
What
Ew.
What? What do you mean the other thing?
You know what I'm saying? Where it's not in your head.
Oh goodness!
Crabs?
Oh my goodness!
Come on, Matthew. This is a family show.
This is a family show. I was just about the words were coming out of my mouth.
My whole family got crabs, if you want to know the truth. So.
Oh, God.
What? What? We had the crab fairies come, and they...
That is... Oh, we just went so, below.
Well, there's an interesting evolutionary connection between the two species.
We're here to decrab your family.
My God. I don't know if I can
all the time in
that.
Crown Heights. No,
so, guys,
no problem, no
tell
problem.
Me, what is how are you feeling about the end of 2013 looking into 2014?
In what? In movies?
I don't
or
know.
In just life?
Life, movies. Let's hear from Matthew first.
Well, there's always hundreds and hundreds of movies coming out every year that I wish I could see, but I hadn't had the time to see. So I'm just looking forward to that giant list getting incrementally smaller as I move forward and try to make use of all the various streaming technologies that are out there.
Wow. That was...
Wow.
It's great. I guess it was a mistake for me to provide Matthew with all the questions in advance. Isabel.
You didn't give me any questions in advance.
Though. I know, but it sounds like it. I've never heard a more canned response in my life.
Well, ask me some good questions.
What is it? Whoa!
Hey there!
Whoa!
Well, hey, Matthew,
whoa,
how do you think about the movies?
What are you talking about?
I come prepared with a movie to recommend for you, not to make kind of, you know.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, I forget about it. Sorry, I apologize. To ask you about what your outlook is for 2014 or back on 2013. What are you doing? Other interviews? Like, is this like the fourth
Wait, hold
one
on.
Of the day? That sounds so canned.
Can I put you on hold for a second?
Oh, my God. The cheekiness.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it, Isabel?
I mean,
well,
I'm very appreciative.
This is how Sam expresses affection.
Hey, don't talk over Isabel, all right? Let's not be rude here. All right, Isabel, I'm sorry. Continue.
No, I was just going to say that my outlook is pretty good. I'm feeling good about 2014.
I guess I should have given you the questions. And
it's a killer question, Sam.
I'm just, you know, I'm trying to make a small talk. All right. I mean, how?
Well, I'll tell you this, Sam. I will tell you this. There are a lot of movies that I saw in the theaters this year that I think are great that will be streaming, and I look forward to recommending them for you once they come onto your platforms.
All right, give me a preview.
That's interesting.
All right, that's interesting. Yeah, give me a preview. What's one of them?
Okay, one of them is a movie called Computer Chess, done by Andrew Bujalski, who I think you may know from Funny Ha Ha.
Funny Ha Ha, yes.
Yeah, this is his latest film, which he shot on an old 70s video camera about the early days of the programmers trying to create artificial intelligence, and they go to a... It doesn't sound very exciting, but it's actually done really, really well, and it's kind of just an original film. It's unlike any other film you'll see. And it's kind of about this group of nerds that go to a hotel, and in the same hotel is like an encounter sexual liberation group, and they sort of interact with them.
Huh. Whoa!
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's not a heavy drama, but I think it's a great movie. I think you would enjoy it. Also, there's another movie.
All right,
that
take it
probably...
easy, buddy. I don't want to hear two. I want to hear one.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Don't tip your hand, because then we'll come back in 2014. It won't be interesting. Now, people shooting on old video cameras now, is that hip? Because I got a Pixel.
Exactly.
I got a Pixel 2000 that I think with a little bit of work could be fully functional. That I was looking to sell on Craigslist, and then I saw it was like only like $30 people were getting for these things.
No, well, keep it if it works.
We need to shed ourselves of junk like that.
I might take that off your hands for $30.
All right, you got it.
That you know,
maybe
Michael
I want
Reed
it.
Is another girl, another
Wait
planet.
A minute.
You know that movie?
What?
I'm in that movie.
You're
what?
In another girl, another planet?
Yes, I am.
Holy crap.
I'm in all of Michael
Amorita's
movies. And wait a minute. I am in that movie.
Wait a second. Hold on for a second. Everybody just slow down here. So, Matthew, you're talking about a movie that was shot on the Pixel 2000. I should just catch everybody up here. The Pixel 2000 was back in the day, back in the early 90s, there was...
Oh, my God.
What's that?
I'm just, because I was just about to say it was a very 90s thing, and then I was, okay, keep going.
Well, Fisher Price came out with a video camera that would shoot video onto cassette, you know, music audio cassette tapes.
Yeah, Fisher Price made it. It was a kid's
Did you just say it was one of your favorite movies?
Definitely.
Wait, and you didn't even know that Isabel was in it?
Do you remember the girl that sang in the movie? Sings?
Yeah.
I sang. That's me.
Holy shit. I mean, crap.
Right, I'm looking. Yeah. I'm looking it up on IMDb right now, and the film poster is literally Isabel Gilley's face.
You're kidding me.
I'm pretty sure that's her.
Wait, what movie was it? What movie was it?
Another Girl, Another Planet.
Another Girl, Another Planet. And so, wait a second. Now, I want to hear Matthew's description of the movie, and then Isabel, you can tell me if you think he's right.
Okay.
What do you mean? You think I'm right? Are you testing me to see if I saw the movie?
Well, I mean
that
just,
is to
maybe
say
your
Michael
interpretation
Emory,
of it was
girl,
not
planet.
Right.
He's confusing.
He's going to be right.
Must be easy.
Isabel, is that you on the picture?
It's either me or Galaxy Craze. I can't remember.
I don't know that that's you, although it does look like your kids, actually.
I mean, it's very, very, very much of them. I'm in that
Isabel,
movie.
You got to get on IMDb and fix this, actually. They misspelt your name.
I thought it's
on...
Elaine Lowenshawn who's on the poster, but maybe not.
They misspelt your name on here.
No, you're probably right about that. Wait, they misspelled my name?
Yeah, so it looks like Another Girl, Another Planet is your only credit. They left out one of the I's in your last name.
Whoa, that explains
That must be why.
No, look at my IMDb, but my IMDb, my real IMDb probably has Another Girl, Another Planet on it.
Yeah, that's not the picture. That's not Isabel on the cover. That's Elena Lowenshawn.
Elena Lowenshawn, yeah.
Yeah, all right, but whatever. All right, so wait a second. So, Matthew, you watched this movie. It's supposedly your favorite movie. You didn't even know that Isabel's in it.
No, you know, it's been a while since I saw it. I had to run off a copy of it from Kim's video because it never really got a proper release with all the music rights.
Are you ready for this? I worked at Kim's video.
Whoa.
On Second Avenue.
Second Avenue? Yeah. No, it was on St. Mark's
Place. It was on the corner. You could be on the corner of St. Mark's.
Oh, right. Okay.
Second Avenue. Then it moved.
Yeah.
But, I know Michael Almereyda a little bit. When I moved here, I helped him do research on Hamlet. You know, when he did his version of Hamlet.
Yeah, I do know.
Library to look stuff. Yeah, were you in that one too?
Because Ethan's a friend of mine.
Okay, well, you win definitely.
What do you mean,
I was in two movies in New Orleans.
Are you in Nadja?
Of his. I was in Nadja.
Wow.
I remember Nadja. Nadja was the biggest, was sort of the biggest Pixel 2000 movie, right?
Yeah. Well, it had portions of it were, yeah. So, yeah, that's probably the biggest use of it, you know, in terms of distribution. Another Girl, Another Planet got, you know, kind of buried due to the rights.
It was at MoMA, though.
Wow.
It sure was.
Matthew,
sure
did you ever have a film that was at MoMA?
No. Did Bad Situationist never play MoMA?
You know what? Did it?
Or did Who's the Caboose?
No. No, I think Who's the Caboose played at Lincoln Center. I don't think it was at MoMA. No.
Okay.
I have a feeling not.
But the real question is, have any of you ever won the Black Diamond Award?
Yeah. Did, Isabel, you know what the Black Diamond Award is?
The prestigious Black Diamond Award.
The prestigious, the prestigious Black Diamond Award was the award that, Who's the Caboose won at the Aspen Film Festival. It was an award that was coincidentally endowed and established by myself and the other producer. We bought ourselves an ad in Variety leading up to the Aspen Comedy Festival.
Did you know when you...
And there's no review that's ever been written about it that doesn't cite our winning of that award.
did you know that if you type in Black Diamond Award on Google, it automatically autocorrects the Black Diamond Award, Who's the Caboose?
There you go. We were the first and last winners of that. So now, Isabel, I'm going to ask you about your favorite movie, and we'll see if Matthew's in it.
I hope it's a bad
movie. Of my whole life? God.
What?
Wait, a bummer thing just happened to me.
What?
I was adjusting the angel on my crush, and she fell down, and her wings broke off.
Oh, no. Wait,
wow, weird. That's... Well, you know what that means. Jeez. Every time an angel loses her wings, someone does not ring a bell. What does that saying go?
Actually,
no,
my doorbell just rang, so maybe it's connected.
Now, so what, Isabel? What are you doing? You decorating your tree?
No, no, I'm just sitting in the chair near my tree, and the crash is here, and I noticed that the angel was kind of off kilter, so I tried to adjust it, and then she crashed down, and her wings broke off.
Oh, gosh. What does that mean? Is there some type of...
I don't know. I'm not going to think about it too much in terms of luck or anything like that.
All right, yeah, it's best not to think about it. You can always...
Yeah.
And you know, you did
glue them on again.
Yeah, angel wings glue back on pretty easily, is my understanding.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So, Isabel, what was your favorite streaming movie of the year?
I mean,
all right, forget it.
Maybe that one. I had a lot of them, but I have to say that I really enjoyed my streaming TV shows, I guess.
Mm.
A little more. But I have a movie to recommend.
Oh, all right.
I thought we were here to have a movie to recommend.
Okay,
and
whatever
now
you
I think
want
that
to do, Isabel, it's fine with me. What would you like to recommend?
I would like to recommend a documentary. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
Called Helvetica.
Helvetica.
I've seen that. It's very
good.
Is this
about fonts?
Yes.
Matthew, what do you think about this movie?
I was very intrigued to see it. I did not get to see it, but I'll add it to that giant list.
Mm.
It's so good. You saw it already?
I didn't see it.
Producer Matt. Saw
it. I think that Tim, you're gonna love it because it speaks to that hardcore nerd in all of us that wants to talk for an hour and a half about font.
I don't know that I've ever felt that way, to be honest.
Yeah, you do. You will, because you can't believe Helvetica, first of all, is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's all Helvetica. And it has, there's a reason for it, and it's got sort of history behind it and psychology, and there's all these different graphic designers talking about it. It's very male heavy, I will say, but, and then there was like the onset of Helvetica, and then there was a backlash against Helvetica, and then there was then designers that actually came back to Helvetica, and it is an hour and a half of people deeply describing one font.
I'm not even sure
it's
I could handle
so
the, that the time that it took to describe it.
It's really good. I enjoyed it. Yes, it's good.
Well, I mean, Isabel, you've never steered me wrong, ever. I mean, maybe
yes, I did once.
Once,
I think once.
What was it?
With the James Bond.
Oh, yeah.
Man, did I get whipped for that.
Yeah, that was
actually horrible.
I feel like I'm still emotionally scarred from that. That was the last movie I saw in a theater.
No! I recommended an old Bond movie.
Oh, wait. Oh.
She recommended
because
yeah, Moonraker.
Because it was the 50th anniversary.
Oh, give me a break.
I know.
Moonraker, of all things.
He's fickle, isn't he, Isabel?
Well, it's okay because it was kind of truthfully, I was trying to promote that particular movie because my friend is in it.
Oh, wait a second! So this is a pay-for-play kickback corruption thing.
It was the only time I ever did that. I never have known anybody in any of the movies I've ever recommended.
Huh.
And or who made them or anything. And that time, it was because it was the 50th anniversary, and I thought it would be fun to watch it because she's in it. And so then I was like, maybe everyone should watch it. Lois Childs.
I don't know who that is.
Yes, you do. She was in that movie. She was Bond Girl, and then she was in, one of the best movies of all time, Broadcast News.
Huh.
Broadcast News is one of the best movies that ever was made. Huh. Come on.
Granted.
Oh, yeah? Matthew, you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Well, what's his name? Albert Brooks' character alone makes that movie.
Well,
right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Oh, God, is that a good one? Here's some other good ones. Chariots of Fire.
Okay, let's not get carried away. Helvetica.
Amadeus.
Oh, let's hear Matthew's film selection. Matthew, or do you want to give me one that what the best of the year was? But you don't want to do that because you don't buy it. This isn't Chris Rosen segment, in other words.
Yeah, no, it's not a Chris Rosen segment. As much fun as those ever were, you know. Honestly, most of the movies that I saw new release in the theater were like the Hollywood popcorn Chris Rosen movies, anyway. But I wouldn't go out on a limb and recommend you go see, you know, Pacific Rim or Elysium or The Wolverine. You know, these are just, these are mindless movies. But
I saw Elysium in a, I think I was, I don't know, I feel like I saw it in a hotel or something like that.
Right, it's a good hotel movie. Yeah,
yeah, it was all right.
Now, Sam, did you get to see A Separation, the one I recommended a while back?
Did you recommend A Separation?
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, it's a really, really great movie.
Yeah.
And Sam, did you see it?
I'm going to see it.
Okay, there, that's all. That's all you need.
Wait, who made that movie again?
Asghar Farhadi. I don't know how I'm butchering his name.
Oh my gosh, Isabel. It's
he
almost like
three,
you should listen to the show
three.
Going
It's like
forward.
A trilogy.
Actually, I wasn't aware.
It's about the party in that house.
Hey, how about, guys, I give you each other's phone numbers. You can do this.
Wait.
We're going to get... What?
Well, no, I think Isabel's thinking of a different movie.
Really? What was The Separation about?
It was about a couple in Iran. It's an Iranian film. Who wants to leave the country, and the other one wants to stay and take care of his Alzheimer's father, and the daughter's gone.
Right. I saw that one, too.
That depressed Isabel.
Kill somebody, right?
That depressed Isabel.
I think
so let's try and come up with something. Let's try and come up with something that does not depress Isabel.
Okay, well, you know, it's funny you say that, because I've been teaching this adult film course at the JCC in Forest Hills, and I've shown them some challenging movies, and I've gotten some feedback along the lines of what Isabel is saying from some of these elderly ladies. And
what's the average age of your students?
I'd say, you know, 70.
Okay. And so what are you showing them?
Some older, some younger. I showed them Mikey and Nikki by Elaine May. I showed them Meantime by Mike Lee. I showed them Safe by Todd Haynes. I showed them What Happened Was by Tom Noonan. I showed them 10 by Abbas Kiarostami. So for the last class, I wanted to leave them on something of a bit of a lighter note, but yet not something that was just corny or cheesy or sort of still, you know, kind of a Hollywood machine movie. So in the last class, we watched Junebug, which came out in 2005.
By Phil Morrison.
By Phil Morrison, yeah. Have you seen it?
I know Phil. Yeah, of course I saw that film.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's got a lot of cameos by New York comedian types. And
yes, I know. I was
Amy Adams' breakout role. What's that, Sam?
I said, I know.
That movie, too.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a good movie, and I recently rewatched it for the class, and it just deepened my love for it.
Phil Morrison did, you know, the Energizer Bunny ads that Ross Broccoli were first in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Phil
That's
is a
awesome.
Big comedy guy.
Uh-huh.
See, well, I like...
Junebug also has Scott Wilson in it for all of you Walking Dead fans. I knew I had to get mad on that.
That's Phil's only movie, too. It's interesting.
You know what? I just realized that he came out with a movie last year or this year that I didn't even hear about until I was just doing some research on this with your favorite guy.
My favorite guy?
Paul Giamatti.
Oh, really? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Remember, I recommended Win-Win.
Yes, I saw Win-Win.
Win-Win, yeah.
It was not Win-Win.
Matt, did you ever watch Win-Win?
No, I didn't. It is still on that ginormous list.
Wait.
Gosh, that was like a year ago.
Phil Morrison did not do Win-Win.
No, but Paul Giamatti's in it.
Right.
Yeah, Paul
Giamatti's in it.
Just so we get that straight.
I've got so many questions and so many things to say.
Go for it.
The thing is that because I've started watching movies with my kids because they're getting kind of older, I wonder if your perspective, because all those movies that you mentioned kind of left me, I realize that they're really good movies and everything, but they kind of leave me cold. And I like Braveheart and Amadeus and Chariots of Fire and stuff. And is that so bad?
Not at all. There's a place for those movies in your life. There's a place for movies that maybe challenge your perception.
Matthew's got his fingers
too.
Crossed when he's saying all this.
Are you kidding me? I consume all these blockbusters I just told you I went to see. So there's always.
Did you see American Hustle?
No, not yet. I think I'll probably have that on the list though.
I saw it.
Wolf of Wall Street. I'm into these kinds of movies, you know.
You know, I don't like this when Matthew pretends to except these sort of lower end films, Matthew? I mean, why
because
are you holding
I'm low end, right, Izzy?
Right, I don't want to disappoint you, Sam. So I'll tell you this: I thought Gravity was horrible.
Ooh.
I did too.
I agree.
Man,
I really like it.
Okay.
Couldn't stand
Really?
I thought it was fantastic.
It was not about my suspension of disbelief for the space stuff, because I could go there. It was about my suspension of disbelief that these were human beings in any way. Every time she opened her mouth,
yes,
it was the most clunky, clockwork kind of characterization, just trying to paint her as a human, and it was just so
tone-deaf. Why don't we send you to space and see how you talk?
It was tone deaf. It was tone deaf. That's exactly what it was. And my suspension of disbelief wasn't there. I can go there too completely. And
sure.
I thought, I was like, bull crap would be.
Whoa,
careful
on the spoiler alerts, everybody.
Smartest movie critics.
Well, you can see
in the
preview.
There was
a great article about that movie by Gabby Gifford's husband. The astronaut.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
He broke it down.
I enjoyed hearing it being ripped apart for the space stuff, but I don't mind that. You know, I don't need it to be perfectly technically accurate in terms of like, oh, those two satellites are too far away or what. You know, whatever. That's fine. If she didn't say a word, I would have loved the movie way more.
I gotta say, personally, for me, Sandra Bullock, I have always found to be just sort of like not there.
Right. Yeah. She's great for the Hollywood movies.
I felt so alone in my dislike of this movie. I really am appreciating
it. I've always thought she's fantastic.
Wow. That's just the function.
You know what I did? I saw that movie over Rush, and I'm so mad because Rush is now gone. I can't find it. I can't go. And we chose to go to Gravity because it was a big screen, and I would have much preferred to see Rush, and I know that's going to be a good movie. I feel like I wasted my money.
But Gravity is a movie you had to see in the movie theater. That movie's not going to have the same impact at home.
Isabel, did you like American Hustle?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Did I like what? Dallas Buyers Club?
What?
Michael said American Hustle.
Oh, American Hustle. I did. I'm a huge David O. Russell fan.
Absolutely.
I love those big, rich colors and songs and lip gloss. It's just all like those performances. And I know that he sees it as a trilogy, I read somewhere. And I can kind of see that. But I feel that almost it was like eating too many Twinkies. Like, we just had a David O. Russell. I feel like I needed another year.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I'm still sort of recovering from my love of The Fighter. I mean, I love The Fighter.
Love The Cider.
I love all those performances, and I love Amy Adams. And
I don't even know what anybody's talking about now.
Did you guys see the new Hunger Games movie?
Yep, I did.
It was really good, I thought. I felt like it made – this should have been the first movie. The first film doesn't even – you don't even need it.
I didn't know what they were talking about.
Oh.
Well, I was way into it until, like, the actual hunt started. Like, I love all the sort of dystopian fascist future.
No, but then they handled the hunt game part of – the book in this movie much better than the first one.
But to me, I'm thrilled by the kind of like that moment where she comes out with the dress. I don't want to spoil too much stuff.
Wait.
Oh, yeah,
okay, everybody, hang out. All right, let's.
All right, but wait. Did anybody see The Hobbit?
In a couple of years, I'm going to eventually be able to see these movies. So.
Did you like The Hobbit?
Yeah, I've liked these two Hobbits more than any of the Lord of the Rings.
Really? The Hobbits
are better?
I saw the first Hobbit movie and I felt the same way. I haven't seen the new one yet, but I thought that Hobbit movie was so much better than any of the Lord of the Rings movies.
Wait, I love the Lord of the Rings.
All right.
And I love the Hobbit, but I love those elves.
Okay, this is all getting out of control here.
Ready for this line?
No.
Ready for this line?
What?
I am fire. I am death.
Lovely titles.
Matthew sounds Matthew just seems too agreeable today, Matthew.
Oh, that reminds me. I saw a great documentary on Netflix last night, A Band Called Death. Have you seen that, Matthew?
No, but I have had someone recommend that to me.
It's about the first, they recently discovered these songs. It's a all black punk band that predates the Ramones.
I remember that. Yes,
it's fantastic.
I want to see that.
Extremely
I've
sad. It's extremely emotional. It's extremely like you, all emotions watching this movie. It's a great movie.
Sounds great.
Here's the thing: is that yes. I'm going to be able to watch, I think, all of these movies because I am going for Christmas to Michigan. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's not me.
Isabel, what are you doing?
I just filled up my. I had to water the Christmas trees. I just filled up my pitcher with water. Sorry.
I'm going to Michigan.
If I don't do it when I think of it, then I'll forget.
I'm going to Michigan for the holidays. And essentially, as soon as I get off the plane, I start to drink, just to maintain a moderate buzz for the next 3 or 4 days throughout the entire thing. And then I sober up on the plane ride home. But I'm going to bring an iPad and watch these movies on Netflix.
Definitely watch Junebug because it's about...
I've seen it!
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I went to the screen.
Definitely watch Helvetica.
I went to a private screening of Junebug.
Okay. I have a question for Sam. Sam, my 9-year-old said, I'm watching this funny TV show on Netflix, and it's called something, and I can't remember what it's called. And then I Googled it, and I was like, I don't know if that's good, and it sounded kind of like maybe not so good for kids. And then it's John Benjamin's show.
What, Benjamin has a van?
No, it's like Bob's Burgers.
Oh, I'm in that.
Oh, here we go. Oh, no.
Is it okay for Thomas to watch it?
I got to be honest with you. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Have you seen The Simpsons, Isabel?
Yes, he said it was like The Simpsons.
Yeah, if you think The Simpsons is okay for your kid, it may be a little bit more, but it's not so far from The Simpsons in terms of appropriateness for children.
It makes that kid laugh so hard.
Well, tell him I'm Hugo, because the early episodes I was in, now not so much.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's because the other one listens to Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, well, that's also not appropriate for kids. All right, listen, Isabel.
Yeah.
Matthew.
Yeah.
I want to thank both of you for your repeated appearances on this program, not just in 2013, but obviously in 2012. 2011, not so much. But I want to thank both of you for all the movie recommendations. If it wasn't for you two guys, I would never see any good movies. I would just sit and watch DIY channel. And that's it. And just sort of like, my DVDs of Homes on Homes the whole time.
So, I appreciate that there's two sides, that there's the Matthew and Isabel. There's sort of two sides of the coin.
That's right. It's the yin and yang.
Yeah.
Everything else is just...
I didn't realize that so much.
Well, I feel like we learned a lot of things. Today, Matthew found out that you are you have a prominent
indie
role in
chick.
One of his favorite movies. And you, Isabel, have learned that I have a semi-prominent role in one of your son's favorite TV shows.
We're contributors. That's a nice thing.
Yeah. So I want to wish you both a Merry Christmas where appropriate and a Happy New Year.
It's such a pleasure.
And I'll see you
Very
guys.
Very effusive of you.
And I'll see you guys in 2014.
Have a Happy New Year, everybody.
You too.
Happy New Year.
And a good holiday and lots of love.
Matthew, you want to say anything?
Nope, just that I'll see you in 2014, and I always have a good time doing this, and we should do more dual episodes in the future.
This is really good.
Okay,
I enjoyed it.
We enjoyed it. All right,
I like it. We can do throwdowns.
All right, let's not get carried away. All right, guys.
Imagine getting both Matthew and Isabel in the studio at the same time.
Yeah, someday we'll have the technology to do that. Someday we need the funds to get another microphone, but we'll work on it.
We don't have the real estate.
We also need the funds to knock down a wall and make more room.
Right, exactly. All right, guys.
I'll splurge for the chicken wings.
Oh, I was thinking about those today.
Oh, yeah.
All right, bye, Isabel. Bye, Matthew.
Bye.
Talk to you soon.
Bye, Happy New Year.
Bye, guys. Happy New Year, everybody. Bye-bye.
All right, now we're going to obviously go late today for members, but for the last thing for the freebies, we have the final Jimmy Reefer Cake song of 2013, and I want to thank Jimmy Reefer Cake for sending us a song nearly every week this year, or at least for a big part of the year, or whatever. It doesn't matter. His contributions are what make this show special. There's no other show
to
out
me,
there
it's not,
except for...
It's not a Majority Report Casual Friday without Cliff Schechter, followed by a movie pick, followed by a Jimmy Reefer Cake song.
Well, sometimes it is, when we don't have a Jimmy Reefer Cake song, but this is the pinnacle of a Casual Friday. Let's put it that way. You can't have the best Casual Friday without having a Jimmy Reefer Cake song. Let's put it that way. All right, so let's see. What is this one?
This song, I think Jimmy was listening to yesterday's show, and Digby seems to have really won him over big time. It's a tribute to Digby called Hullabaloo.
Okay, let's hear it.
1, 2, 3. Hullabaloo, hullabaloo, what a hell of a hell of a hullabaloo. H-U-L-L-A-B-A-L-O-O. Hullabaloo, hullabaloo, it's a hell of a hell of a hullabaloo. H-U-L-L-A-B-A.
I like eating L-O-O.
Hullabaloo, hullabaloo, it's a hell of a hell of a hullabaloo.
H-U-L-L-A, give up some money, L-O-O.
Hullabaloo, hullabaloo, hell of a hullabaloo.
H-U-L-L-A-B-A-B, L-O-O.
Hullabaloo is good for you. Support what they do. Support what they do. Give them some money. H-L-L-A.
How do you spell it? Oh, crap, man. How do you spell it? H-U-L-L-A. Damn it. How do you spell it?
Oh, man. That's it.
Wow, there you go.
Was he doing a little bit of a bit about you having trouble pronouncing the name of that site?
I'm not 100% sure.
Because that was part of
it.
Like,
it was an interesting choice to do the...
If that was the inspiration for the song, then I would say genius.
Brilliant. Yes, the interesting choice to finish 2013 on a ode to Hullabaloo, Digby's blog, but I certainly am a big fan.
My favorite part was the random one line of him going, I like reading it.
There you go. All right, folks.
Well, it's sort of implied that he likes reading it.
So we're going to say goodbye to the freebies. Thank you for your listenership over 2013. If you have supported the program in any way by giving us an iTunes review or donate youraccount.com/majorityfm or you buy your crap through Amazon through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. I appreciate it, and if you have the wherewithal to become a member in 2014, of course, I encourage it. Don't forget, we also, the Credo deal lasts until Sunday, 50% off that handset, up to $350 in a buyout credit, but I do really appreciate your listening to the program. Obviously, if you didn't listen, then there would be no point in doing this program, we appreciate you spreading the word. Don't forget, we got the app. Have a great New Year's. We've got some best ofs for you.
And if freebies, you're getting some stuff you haven't heard previously on the freebie show, too.
I know. We're going to give and give.
And you
and
think
give.
You're entitled to all of the free benefits
there you
of
go.
This program.
That's, we're playing good cop, bad cop here. Michael's going
to
make
and
you
And I real. Cannot convince you to take responsibility for your life or the programs you listen to.
There you go. All right. Now, if you want to be part of this program today, give us a call, 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. We will see you live again back in 2014. Have a Merry Christmas if you celebrate Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Belated Happy Hanukkah.
Weird, we never really talked about Hanukkah.
We didn't. Hanukkah happened so early this year.
It happened too early this year.
And it was during Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And my birthday.
Which I wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you. That's really nice. Indeed. I wish you a happy birthday from 2013 as you as well.
Thank
Matt.
You. Thank you.
Also, folks, have a great new year. Please be safe. Have safe travels. If you're a member and you're sticking around, it still applies to you. All that nice stuff.
I'm sure we'll probably say it again, so it'll doubly apply to you.
Yes, of course. All right, folks. 646-257-3920. See you in the better half.